Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a great show because we have a fabulous guest, somebody I haven't seen for over 20 years. So stay tuned to the James Whale radio show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale radio show.
Right, here we go. And welcome to my little radio show online on your favorite radio station. Some people call them podcasts, but basically this is a radio show. You're welcome to it. We have all sorts of things going on in the next hour. Rob, the producer, will pick up any flack and any complaints any of you have. Just get in touch with Rob. You can get in touch with him at jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, or yell at me in the street. That'll do.
Yeah, yell at him in the street. I don't give a stuff if you do that either. And also, to our friends listening in Texas, we have a lot of people now who listen to us via the USA. This radio program is taken across America. Just sod off, some of you, will you? I mean, quite frankly, I don't need the aggravation of people complaining about my adverts on the program. If you don't like the adverts, send 50 quid.
I'll do, yeah.
Send 50 quid, we're going to advance. What was the old joke? Send 3 and 4 pence, we're going to advance. Send 3 and 4 pence, we're going to a dance. What am I talking about?
I have no idea.
No, okay. So anyway, brought to you today by Ford and, of course, the EcoSport that I have been driving around in the last week or so. And we'll give you my defining thoughts about the EcoSport from Ford, a new car from Ford, that can be seen on our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Go there and have a look. Now, exciting program this week because I will be talking to Wayne Hussey. Wayne Hussey was the front, and still is, the front man of a group called The Mission that back in the 90s were quite big. And they appeared on one of my TV shows in the 90s. You can see that program as well on the website. Is that right?
It is. And I think you shared it on your Facebook page as well. I saw it the other day.
I did. But just to make sure, it's on the website as well.
Okay.
It is. And you can get it off my Facebook site too. It's the program when Wayne Hussey came on, and Wayne came to do an interview. He'd been playing, I think it was in Leeds, because this program was done for Yorkshire Television. And Wayne Hussey decided he'd be difficult for some strange reason. I have no idea why. And as it was a live program, and he began to get very difficult and use lots of naughty language, I had to eject him from the program. I didn't know what else to do. What could I do? Nobody seemed to be helping me out, so I had to sort of throw him off the set myself. Now, that clip of that program has gone all over the place and been seen many, many times by many people. And since then, I have hardly spoke to Wayne Hussey on the night of the interview. So I'm looking forward to talking, to Wayne Hussey on the show for the first time in 20-odd years a little later on. If he turns up, he might not. I mean, if he doesn't turn up, what am I going to do?
Don't say that.
You don't know, do you?
The whole show's based around Wayne Hussey.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
He better turn up.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Let's hope he will. Of course, for all our friends who don't like the ads, don't forget, go to the Facebook, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, and you can get free copies of audio books and you can get free movies. Just click on Love Film or Audible and the rest will become obvious. I think we should do some commercials. I'll just go to a commercial break.
We can advertise a shop, mugs, cups, T-shirts.
Yeah, do all that.
Yeah, we'll do
now, the big story I want to talk about is Ebola, right? Ebola is getting on everybody's nerves at the moment. And I just want to, it's the top story in the news. I've been doing interviews with virologists on various radio programs I do all over the place. Everybody is getting concerned about it. Look, there is only one way you can get Ebola. In fact, there was some people came over from Africa who'd been doing some charity work and regularly go around and give talks to schools. And the parents of the school stopped the people going to the school. So, oh, no, we don't want them. We might get it. And a young lad whose parents have been living, I think, in Africa, live in Africa, coming back to this country. The parents of this particular school wouldn't let him go to the school. This is balmy. Now, the way you get, do you know how you get Ebola, Rob? Because you're an ordinary sort of person, aren't you?
I would imagine you would have to have some sort of contact with somebody that actually has Ebola.
Yeah. Now, if you're standing near somebody who gets Ebola, how do you get it off them?
Give them a kiss.
That might well do it, yeah. You have to get some of their bodily fluid onto you.
Okay.
You don't catch it like a virus that's transmitted through the air, right?
That's good to know.
Yeah, you have to be in close proximity of them, and you have to get some of their dribble, some of their pee, some of their poo, some of their vomit on you.
Hence why in third world countries it spreads.
Yeah, yeah.
Got you.
And that's why, of course, we take precautions, as you have seen. But when taking those protective clothes off, the trouble can be when, if you don't take them off very carefully and you get a little of the person's discharge fluid that may be on the outside of the protective clothing on you, that's when you could pick up the disease.
I know all about that because every time I pick up the newspaper after my little puppy's done its business, sometimes I get that on my hand.
Yeah, just wash it off.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Good.
So we put this out on Facebook, and interesting, some thoughts you came up with. Dale says, the fact that Ebola is not a new disease, it's been around for over 40 years, which is right, absolutely right. However, for some strange reason, the US government own a patent on it, the human Ebola virus species, and they own all rights to medicine and vaccines used to contain and prevent the disease. The vaccines were produced and stockpiled in late 2012. Ebola outbreaks became stronger, more frequent in early 2013. The aim is to introduce mandatory vaccination, which will be worth billions. Why else would a government seek to patent a disease? Interesting conspiracy theory there. Thank you, Dale. Peter Hill says he's astonished that it's been let into Europe. I don't think it's been let in at all. I think it's a mistake. Somebody made a mistake, and that was it. Stuart says, don't touch anyone with it. And if you do touch someone with it, wash your hands. Basic hygiene. I don't think you have to. I'm not sure. I think you get it. It goes into the skin and into the bloodstream. I think. I'm not sure. You see, even I don't know everything. Oh, God, I don't know everything. That's a worry, isn't it?
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm sure there's a team on standby.
All right, okay. Joanne Oliver says, I've worked in a Category 3 containment laboratory for BSE, and that is way less contagious and dangerous than Ebola. I don't think there is anywhere near enough protection for workers in other countries. Interesting point, Joanne. Thank you for that. Phil Barron says, if people followed the advice given, they'd be all right. Maggie Whitworth says, a little like closing the gate after the horse has bolted. Now, should have tried to contain it long ago. Andy says, the Yanks will release the antidote soon. We'll get on with it then. Christina says, yes, but only if strict hygiene is observed. It is a disease of poverty. Good sanitation and clean water will prevail. Amanda Westgate says, not if we don't put restrictions on travel to and from infected areas and check them medically. Then we also have aid workers who fly back to receive treatment. People also need to be checked for the virus and other serious illnesses when entering from infected areas. And Alan says, I am sure people will pray to their own God who will solve the crisis if they exist. Huh? Are you taking your tablets? Alan, I hope so. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. So that's a thought. Any thoughts on that? Please get in touch. That's all you have to do. Now, Wayne Hussey arrived yet?
No. Well, he's not arriving, is he? We have to phone him wherever he is.
I thought he was going to come here so I could throw him off the programme again.
I didn't want that to happen.
Did you not?
No.
Oh, okay. Right, a new feature on the programme, because I don't think Rob does enough work. And Rob is going to do a little technical feature because he knows all about technical stuff and gadgets and gizmos and things like that. I know all about bows and arrows. And any questions you want to ask me about toxophily, I'm only too happy to answer. So send them in. But on the other hand, Rob is our gadget guru. So we thought we would introduce into the program every week a little feature of Rob talking about, reviewing maybe, or explaining something new in the world of tech.
No pressure then.
No, so I thought we'd call it, hang on. Okay. I thought we'd call it, on the James Whale Radio Show, it's now time for Tech Talk.
Ooh, I like that. What's been happening in tech this week? Windows 10 has been released for a preview.
No, not another flipping Windows. Do we need any more?
Well, we do, because we have at the moment Windows 8/8.1, so they've released Windows 10.
But aren't I... am I still on Windows 5 or something?
You're on Windows 7, from what I can see.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? I didn't know I was as advanced as that.
Yeah, so Windows 7 currently is probably the best operating system. Windows 8 is absolutely terrible because they got rid of the start button, which everyone loved. So in Windows 10...
Well, hang on. If you get rid of a start button...
Yeah.
Okay, with me, yeah.
Yeah.
How can you start it?
Tiles.
Oh, I know. I'm not up on this stuff. Go on, carry on.
Anyway, so Windows 10, guess what they've reintroduced?
A start button.
Well done. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, see, I know quite a lot about tech, obviously.
They've also reintroduced the search feature, which is quite handy for when you want to find your stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, a few other things. You can resize the windows. You know, in Windows 7, you want to make the window slightly a bit smaller to maybe get more programs running at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, they got rid of that in Windows 8. Everything was full screen. So now you can resize everything. So basically Windows 10 is the re-release of Windows 7 with some slight modifications.
And so will we be going to Windows 11, 12 and 13 fairly soon too?
I don't think so. I think Windows 10 is the one that everyone wants.
So how much is this going to cost me?
Mm.
And how simple is it to get loaded on my computer?
Well, at the moment, you can download the preview for free. Go to preview.microsoft.com and anyone can download it and have a play. I assume when they release it officially, that will stop working and you'd have to pay typically about £70. But all the new laptops and computers will have that on a standard.
Well, right. OK, so nearly time in that case to get a new computer.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Mr. Tech Man. How long does a laptop normally last?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I fix a lot of laptops, and I see laptops of at least 7-8 years old still working.
So really?
It all depends on how well you treat it, I suppose. The usual thing that goes wrong with laptops is hard drives and people smashing the screens.
Oh, right. And once that happens, it's just really worth getting a new one.
Data is the most important thing. Because laptops are very cheap these days.
Hmm.
So if you haven't got any important data or you've done your backup, then just go out and buy a new one. But a lot of people don't back up. So we see a lot of people coming in saying, I need my stuff. Whatever happens, I need this laptop fixed.
Hmm. Oh, that's lucky for you.
It is, yes.
Yeah. So remember the watchword. If you want to put Rob out of work, back it up.
That's the one. Thanks for that.
Back it up.
Yeah.
I keep getting on my iPhone telling me I haven't got enough cloud or something. I don't know what it's going on about.
Everyone's got a bit of the cloud, so there's not enough to go around.
Well, I don't know that I want any more.
No. It's especially rainy and wet ones. You don't want those either.
All right. So, next week, some more tech talk from Rob, right?
Yeah, okay.
Good. Right, let's get Wayne Hussey. I'm excited about this because I haven't spoken to Wayne for ages. Why don't you play a little commercial for our shop or something, and let's get Wayne on the phone.
Okay, straight after this.
Would you like a free audiobook? Our friends at Audible are giving everybody a free audiobook just by going to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk. All you need to do is click on the Audible link, register, and you'll get your free audiobook. It's a bit like a book club, and remember, you can leave at any time and you still get to keep your free audiobook. So what are you waiting for? Just head over to the James Whale Radio Show website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, and click on that Audible link now.
Good afternoon, Ramada London North. Zelda speaking. How may I help?
Hello there. Can you put me through to Wayne Hussey in room 356, please?
356. Okay, just give me a moment.
Wow!
Hello?
Hello!
Hello, James.
Wayne, how are you, old boy?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Yeah. Well, not bad for an old man now, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, we're both old men together.
Yeah. Well, it's great, isn't it? We're still here.
We're still doing our thing, eh?
Exactly. Well, are you ready to go? We'll just go into it.
Yeah, I thought we started.
Yeah, all right, okay. Well, we have started in that case. So let's see how it was. When did I have to ask you politely to leave my television show?
I think it was in the spring of 1990.
Blimey, that's even further away than I thought.
Yeah, it's a long, long time. 24 years. I've matured a little since then.
I haven't.
Well, good for you.
I think that was one of the first ever shows we did. I think, if my memory serves me well, it was from the reception area of the radio station I was working on at the time.
It was in Leeds, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's. I mean, I don't have very little recollection of it. I know it was after a gig that we played in Sheffield that night, and I know that I'd never seen your show previously to this evening, and the rest of the band were winding me up and saying, he's going to take the mickey out of you, you know, you, if you go on there, you're going to be crucified. So I went in a little bit fortified, shall we say.
Well, I remember it was Black Tower that you were drinking.
Wow.
Even
yes,
that's
times have definitely changed. I'm on the red these days.
Well, it certainly got loads of publicity for the show, so I have to really thank you very much indeed, Wayne.
Well, it did the same for me, you know. I mean, rightly or wrongly, or however you wish to look at it, I mean, it's something that a lot of people still probably remember the most about me, too, which is... kind of unfortunately, when I've actually made quite a lot of music over the years.
I think the thing I don't regret anything, to be honest, but I always find mildly amusing that, yeah, people always say, oh yeah, you threw those guys off your program, didn't you? And I think in all of the shows I did over the years, it only ever happened twice, you and Lemmy from Motorhead.
Well, I'm in good company.
Yeah, and Lemmy had seen you on the show, so he decided he just wanted to do it anyway.
Good boy. Yeah, good
now,
boy.
How did the mission do after that? Because we haven't spoken since that night, have we?
Well, I think that was really the start of the downward spiral, really. No, I mean, we carried on for a little while. I think it was during that tour that we lost Simon, our guitarist. He went AWOL during the tour, but we carried on with a standing guitarist. But I think once Simon had left, it kind of broken the camaraderie that we'd kind of enjoyed that up to that point within the band. And, you know, everything has a momentum, and when you lose that momentum, it's very hard to get it back. So, you know, and a band has a lifespan, really, that where it's on the up. And I think, maybe a year after that, it started to fall apart a little bit.
But the mission, you're back. The mission are still touring occasionally, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I mean, each one by one, each original member of the band left me on my own, and I mean, I got other people into the band and carried on for a while. I mean, I was left with a lot of debt that I wanted to work off rather than just go bankrupt. And so, I mean, I carried on with it until about 96, 97, by which time I'd married an American for my sins and moved over to California. And packed it in. And then we got back together in 1999 for an American tour. We did that for a few years. And then we got back together again with three of the original members in 2011 for the 25-year anniversary. And we've been doing things on and off since, yeah. I mean, we just did a South American tour in August, which was interesting.
Now, you live in South America now, don't you?
Yeah, I live in Brazil. Yeah, I live in... well, I have a place in the country just outside of São Paulo, and we have a what they call an apartment in the city.
they call it apartments everywhere, don't they? Is that...
Well, I thought that's just flats in Britain, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, I tried to correct myself here, because when I go to the petrol station, I try to say petrol rather than gas, but it's a, you know, I haven't lived in Britain since 97, you know, so to me it's gas.
Well, don't blame me for that either.
I'm not blaming you for anything.
What drove you to live in South America then? I thought Brazil particularly was a really dangerous place.
Well, if you go into Bristol city centre on a Saturday night, that's a really dangerous place. You know, it's relative. I mean, obviously there are... I mean, São Paulo is huge. As a state, it's as big as Europe. As a city, I mean, it's probably the second or third biggest city in the world. And it's huge, you know. I mean, it's vast. And obviously there's lots of areas you just don't go to. But, you know, there's lots of areas that are safe too, you know. And if you respect the locals and their ways, then I think, you know, that's a good rule of thumb to live by. My wife is Brazilian, that's why I'm there.
Okay, and do you, I mean, is your livelihood now a musician? Is that what you do to earn your living, or do you not need to earn a living anymore? I wish.
No, I'm still a musician, still out here working. I'm actually in the middle of a 51-date European tour right now. So, yeah, I still have to go out there and do my thing.
What about your country house in Brazil, then? What's that like? You're sort of raising alpaca or what?
No. I mean, it's what they call a chácara, which is basically a non-working farm. I bought it very cheaply about 10, 11 years ago for the princely sum of about £36,000. And it comes with a bunch of land. And it had five buildings on it, five dwellings, shall we say. One of which was the big house, which is where we live, and then one I converted into a studio and office area, so I do have to go leave the house to go to work in the morning. And then my wife's mother and father live with us too in their own house, and they kind of look after the property when we're not there. And we have five dogs and four cats and parrots, and we have avocado trees and lemon trees and stuff, you know, so it's a pretty good life, James, I have to say.
Why on earth would you want to come back to England then?
Well, I'm asking myself that same question. I mean, I'm here on tour, and I love to tour still. I still love to go out and play shows. And I'm having a nice time with the shows, apart from the fact I've got a damn cold again. Every time I come here, I get a cold. So that's why I'm asking myself this question. Why do I always tour in Britain in the autumn?
Let's talk about the tour, because is this you on your own or with members of the mission? What is this tour?
This tour is me on my own. It's I play a little bit of guitar, a little bit of electric guitar, a little bit of acoustic guitar. I play a little bit of ukulele, a bit of piano. It's some lesser-known mission songs. I have a new album coming out next week, which is called Songs of Candlelight and Razor Blades, which I am kind of promoting. And so I'm playing songs from that. I mean, there's some kind of strange cover versions. Basically, I have a songbook of about 120 songs, and it varies from night to night, really, depending on my mood, depending, you know, on whether I've changed my socks, whether Liverpool have won or lost, you know, those kind of things.
Football's quite important to you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean,
what was it like being there for the World Cup?
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean... Obviously, there was a lot of trouble before the World Cup with the demonstrations and stuff, and I can understand all that, you know. I mean, there's a lot of senseless money being spent when there's things wrong with the country. But, you know, but once the World Cup started, everybody got behind the team and got excited by it. I actually got to go and see England in São Paulo lose to Uruguay. But we won't talk about that one.
What about you as a musician? Because when I first met you, you had a reputation, obviously, of being a bit of a hard man, a bit of a punk rocker, a little bit avant-garde, if you like. Do you still
That's
see
a polite way of saying it, yeah.
All right, you had a reputation of being a bit of a shit, but
yeah.
do you still see yourself in the same way or not?
Well, I mean, you know, I've definitely mellowed. I see myself as firstly as a musician, I suppose, these days, whereas I think back then I saw myself more as a perpetrator of tomfoolery, I suppose. Mm. And I like my pop stars I've always liked my pop stars to be loud and colourful and outspoken and provocative. So, you know, I'm no longer a pop star. Now I consider myself to be a musician. I leave the pop star japes up to other people. You know, there's always one or two with every generation. And I think the last great one for me, actually, was probably Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. I mean, today we're full of kind of, well, apart from the ladies who perform in very few clothes, which annoy lots of people. I'm trying to think of somebody that is kind of cutting edge and somebody who's a little bit dangerous.
Isn't really, is there?
No, I can't. I'm trying to think of someone.
I mean, it's all the X Factor and all those kind of TV shows. You know, and the funny thing is, I never watch them, but when I do happen to catch them, I think, you know, you'd never... Someone like Morrissey or Robert Smith or even myself or Susie Sue or Bob Dylan even or John Lennon, none of these people would have even got on. These would have passed the auditions.
Well, the interesting thing about that is... two stories, I'll tell you. The interesting thing is that the edge and the danger is supplied by Simon Cowell. So the people who go on those shows are just fodder for him.
Yeah. Well, you know. Good
but
for
I don't
him,
think,
but
I, don't think
good. I don't think it's good for the music business.
Well, I think you're right, but I don't think the world is the same as it was. I saw an interview with one of my heroes the other day, John Lydon. Now you remember, of course, Johnny Rotten, the Sex Pistols. And I've interviewed John many, many times. He's a great bloke. He says things and you think, oh, that's outrageous. And then you think about it a little bit and you think, yeah, he's got a good point there. There isn't anybody in the entertainment business at the moment who's doing anything that's satirical, who's doing anything a little bit dangerous. Not comedians, not musicians, nobody.
No, I agree with you. I think it's all become very, very safe, very sanitized, very for the mass markets. You know, I think a large part of that's down to the internet as well. And the fact that we have tons of TV channels to choose from now. Obviously the world changes and some people see it as progress. And young kids living today, they'll look back at this in 30, 40 years and reminisce and think, wow, they were the good times, you know, like we do. You know, and I agree. I think John Lydon has been one of the best spokespeople, you know, ever in music, and he's always made sense if a little bit left to center.
I just can't see anybody from One Direction sort of being the spokesperson for the generation that loved them. I mean, listen, when I was a DJ, we had the Jacksons, Jackson 5, the Osmonds, and there were still hysterical fans and everything else. But we also had other different forms of music, and that's what we don't seem to have today. There is no kind of punky sort of rocky thing going on. Even U2 have become slightly sanitized.
Well, I think U2 have become Coldplay, haven't they?
Or maybe the other way around, yeah.
Well, no, I think Coldplay, you know, but I think U2 have... I don't know. I mean, that's unfair, you know, I don't know. But I agree with you generally. I mean, musically, there's very little new stuff that I like or listen to. I've tended to go back in time, you know, for my own personal listening pleasure. So, you know, I listen to a lot of older music now, like 1930s Delta blues and stuff like that. I just find pop music, rock music, whatever you want to call it, very generic these days. It all sounds the same.
Well, that unfortunately is because, I mean, even when we were sort of, when I was doing my late night TV show, which we could get away with all kinds of things, I couldn't even consider doing what I used to do then now. And it needs, you know, younger people to come along and do that as well. I can sort of sit there and reflect. But you can't, you know, it doesn't happen anymore. Maybe it's just because that was the fashion of our time. And that's not how people want to be anymore. They want to live their lives online more.
Well, I mean, I also think that, our time, which is probably, we're talking about the 80s, you know, I think there was maybe a sense of adventure, but there was a sense of not really knowing what the boundaries were. And until you really push, you know, out against those boundaries, you're not going to find them. And I think, you know, maybe that some people overstep the mark and then, you know, the whole thing has been reined in bit by bit, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because arguably, you see, it might be, it's easier now. When I started on the radio or on the TV, there weren't very many channels. When you started in music, you know, you had to get a record company. Now, you can have your own TV or radio station online. You can release your own music online. Arguably, it's easier.
Arguably it is, but I think people's attention span has become ever smaller.
Yeah. Well, what's the sort of age range of your audience now?
My audience these days, it basically ranges from, you know, maybe 40-year-olds, 60-year-olds. We didn't really appeal to the generation that came after, which is quite right, because, you know, my parents' music never appealed to me at the time. You know, music should be of its generation, pop music anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
They're 40 to 60. But you know what's happening? They're starting to bring their kids, their young teenage kids.
Yeah, what do kids think of punk now, I wonder, or sort of that kind of grittier music?
Well, I'd like to think that they recognize that there is some kind of reality to it. You know, maybe that, you know... That it's not there in modern music. I don't know. I mean, you know, we all like to kind of believe that what we're doing is honest and with dignity and with some kind of integrity, you know.
So where can we see you play? You're going to be playing all over the UK over the next couple of weeks, aren't you? You're in London. Are you in London tonight?
I'm in London tonight at the Garage, and then I'm off. This is the brilliant planning of my agent. I was in Newcastle the night before last night. Yesterday we drove down to London. In London tonight, tomorrow in York.
Oh, well, I'd give him a talking to be quite honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, and then Buckley, and then Edinburgh and Glasgow, and then I'm off to mainland Europe, France, on next week.
Well, listen, we'll put all your dates up on our website so people can go and take a look at that. And who knows, maybe we'll actually get to physically meet each other.
It would be nice, James. Even if it's not on air, it'd be nice to go out for lunch one time when I'm in London and not full of cold. And just to, just to talk.
I'd like that, because this is the longest we've spoken. I think on the TV show, our interview lasted 2.5-3 minutes.
At very most. and there were a lot of, there should have been a lot of bleeps.
Yeah, but there weren't, and there were lots of complaints. But, of course,
yeah,
you know what the funny thing is,
after you ejected me from the set and you went to adverts, your people put me in the telephone room. And so the telephone started ringing, and I was answering the phone. People were saying, oh, I'm calling to call about the bad language on your show. And it's like, oh, really? Well, F off.
I did. Do you know, I didn't know that. You just told me something I didn't know.
Really? Yeah, there you go.
Well, listen, people go and watch that clip over and over again. So,
yeah, I know. It gets put on featured on TV's Worst 20 Moments quite frequently as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think people want to go and listen to you perform now. They may have seen the clip 24 years ago. Now go and listen to the new Wayne Hussey and listen to some of the music. And maybe even check out some of those old albums of The Mission.
Yeah, why not?
Good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, likewise. And next time I'm over, let's go and have lunch somewhere.
I'd love that. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Take it easy, Wayne.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Wayne Hussey, do you know, I think he sounds like a really nice bloke, doesn't he?
He's not the same Wayne that I've been seeing.
No, I mean, he didn't even sound the same.
The accent's slightly still there.
Yeah, yeah. But he's asked me out for lunch.
I know.
I'll be getting invitations to things like, well, Pride of Britain and the Oscars before long.
If he takes you out to lunch, are you going to be swigging out of his wine bottle?
I might.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might. Go and check. By the way, if you haven't seen that bit of the first time, my first encounter with Wayne Hussey, as I said earlier, go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Maybe that's where you're listening at the moment, and you can watch the whole programme, which is quite funny. Now, this is Wayne's current single, a new single called Wither on the Vine. It comes from the album The Songs of Candlelight and Razor Blades.
Their world.
So Wayne Hussey, Wither on, or Wither, I beg your pardon, Wayne Hussey and Wither on the Vine, available on iTunes. Check out their iTunes category or collection, and you can, I'm sure, turn yourself on to the music of The Mission. And if you want to find out where Wayne is playing, we'll put a full list of all the dates on our website at jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Remember, if you want to get in touch, the email is jameswhale@gmail.com.
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
Do you know, I always get that wrong, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing that, James Whale. But don't moan about things on the programme. I mean, just don't. I mean, and a quick big up to all those people in America, as I said before, listening to the programme, because obviously, slightly backward country, it's always nice to have people in America listening to us.
Well, we're like an education show for them.
Yeah, we are, really. You know, quite frankly, after what you've done to the English language, I mean, you should be ashamed of yourselves, to be honest with you, but there we are. Now, here's one. This will get the Americans going. Do you know, it's interesting that homosexuality, same-sex marriage, is now legal in about 30 states in America. But that means there's still, what, 20-odd states? I mean, I think that's about the most backward thing I've ever heard. I'm not, live and let live is my motto. And of all the things you can get upset about, another person's private life surely should be the last. So I was thinking about that with this whole business about this poor guy. Luckily, he's now been released, because if he hadn't been released, I don't think anybody would be going to Morocco for a holiday. You know, the guy apparently had photographs which the Moroccan authorities saw on his private phone that made them think he was homosexual, so they locked him up. I mean, can you think of anything more backward than being locked up because of your sexual preference? And this coming Saturday, depends when you listen to this, but what's the date? We're recording this on a Wednesday.
The 8th, I think, today.
Yeah. Show 55, we've done 55, that's 55 hours worth of James Whale radio show you can hear right here. So this is on the 8th. So 8th, 9th, 10th, right, is National Coming Out Day. Rob?
Yeah, I guess.
Rob?
Yeah?
National Coming Out Day.
Right, so you want me to come out on Saturday?
Well, no, would you like to?
Yeah, where are we going to go?
Not me and you.
Oh.
I wondered if you wanted to come out.
Well, yeah, I haven't been asked that since I was a little kid. Yeah, well, I'm happy to go wherever you want.
Never mind. Let's find out what people think about this. And again, we put it out there during the week, as we do, as a thought. Should we have anything to do with countries like Morocco who lock you up for being gay? Karen. Hello, Karen. She says, my cuz was holding hands in Dubai with her boyfriend and was cautioned by the holding hands police. It really frightened them. I think this world is getting worse. It's the 21st century. Grow up. Is that right in Dubai? You can't hold hands?
Yeah, public shows of affection, I think, is...
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to Dubai. I have no intention of going, but I It's where all the lovies go and hang out, don't they?
Ah, it says boyfriend. It doesn't say husband. I think if you're married, it's okay.
How would they know?
Wedding ring.
And they, could you imagine if I was wandering down, and I don't wear a wedding ring, nor does Mrs. W, if you wander down the street in Dubai holding hands, you're likely to get some mustachioed, because they all have mustaches out there, the police, don't they? Some mustachioed bloke comes up to you and says, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Oh, no, just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Still, I don't need to go there, so it doesn't bother me. Dean Page says, give us a kiss, James, and I'll tell you. Charlie says, refrain from holidaying there. Tourism is their only means of keeping their economy afloat. That will make them reconsider. Well, I think they have reconsidered as well. David Longbottom, just don't... shush. David Longbottom says, just don't go there if you're gay. Sorted. John Leslie says, I'm a gay guy, but will always respect other countries' laws and beliefs. Quite right, too. Clive Hardesty, don't go there, gay or not. Derek says, unfortunately, different countries are evolving at different rates as far as human rights are concerned. The question would not be asked if it was China. Because of trade and profit, we compromise our values every time we step out of doors. Sad but true. I don't think that's right. I think we do give China a pretty hard time, and quite rightly, about their human rights, which are pretty despicable. I think we ought to be doing the same more vocally to Saudi Arabia. You know, the Saudis come over to England and think that they can drive. You see some of them in their Ferraris driving around London's West End in a ridiculous manner, racing up and down Edgware Road and various other things. And they never seem to get stopped. I think, quite frankly, that ought to be something we look into. Carol Beth says equality for all. Brian Wright says if we don't respect other people's laws, we can't expect them to obey ours. Yeah, but I don't think, Brian, I'm sorry, I don't think laws that say you should be locked up because of your sexuality should be tolerated. I mean, I suggest if people want to live that way that we don't go to that country. And if you do go to that country, obviously obey their laws. But I think perhaps it needs to be said that in the 21st century, that for some misguided reason, somebody thinks being gay is wrong. I mean, some people think eating certain things is wrong as well, which is why you find me not very happy with religions who obviously want to and whatever religion it is, it doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christian, whether you're, I don't know, Jewish, Hindu, whatever. There are always things that people want other people to do because it might offend what they believe in. Well, as long as you don't go out of your way to be offensive to a person, i.e., you know, I don't particularly want to see people snogging each other in the street, whether it's men and women, women and women, men and men. It just needs a bit of common sense, doesn't it? But writing, enshrining in law things like this, surely that's not the way forward, is it, for the future? I mean, I don't know. Tell me. I might be out of step. You tell me. Ian Walsh says you can't go around hating people for their sexuality. But being straight, I don't feel the need to wave the banner as well. Dennis says, I'm sure we have laws other countries don't agree with, but they don't block us. Yeah, tell me one, Dennis. What law in this country do you think we have that would offend other people? Rob?
Opposite of all the ones that... What the fact?
Oh, Rob.
What? I don't know. You put me on the spot all the time. You're always putting me on the spot.
I know.
I'm just supposed to twiddle
come
the knobs.
On. You see, you don't know, do you? No idea.
No idea, no.
Can I talk about something else just while I'm thinking?
Well, it's handy, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching the Liberal Party's conference. I'd watched them all, Tories, Labour and anybody else who was having one, if I was around. And I was watching them discuss environment, and there was some chap from the RSPB. Now, you know I like wildlife. I'm a country man, really, at heart. I mean, I like being in the city. I like getting out into the country. I like being in woodland. I'm a kind of thinner version of... who's that bloke who walks around in the country all the time looking at things?
Bill Oddie.
What's his... No, not him. No, the other one who... is always sort of, I don't know. I mean, he's always looking through binoculars at stuff. What is his name? You know, Ray Mears. Yeah, him. I'm just a thinner version of Ray Mears. I always thought Ray Mears should look a bit thinner than he does for a man who sort of lives in the wild a lot.
Eating grubs.
But that aside, I was watching them going on about, you know, we've got to conserve this, we've got to conserve that. And we've lost 50% of the species in the world in my lifetime. This bloke went on very sort of sincerely about. Well, here's the thing, and correct me if I'm wrong. Why do we need to save every species? If we saved every species, we would be completely overwhelmed now. I'm not suggesting that humans are going to be the final species on the planet. It may well be that what happens with climate means that human beings die out and something else takes over. I don't know. But we go on and on. I feel so sorry for the panda, because what the panda is long past its sell-by date. You know, it only eats one kind of food. It only reproduces every couple of years or something, if it ever does. It quite often smothers its offspring. It's almost impossible that the panda is being kept going, even though evolution says the panda is now not necessary. Now, I think it's as cuddly, and I love it as much as the next person. But it's overstayed its welcome, hasn't it?
I'm just thinking of the complaints now.
Why?
Everyone loves pandas.
Yeah, everyone loves pandas. I like pandas. But there is no place on the planet for them. Their habitat has almost disappeared. They only eat one sort of thing. They can't, you know, it's, we're keeping them going because of our own ego, so we can say we can.
That is slightly true, yeah.
And the Chinese make money out of it.
Yep.
And these poor animals are consigned to a life behind bars in many cases.
A big experiment.
Yeah. You know, supposing I imagine we'd be trying to save the dinosaurs, if in fact they were still here.
Would we try and save the wasp?
Well, I presume, yeah. We're trying to save everything as far as I can see. I did this interview about a brownfield site in London that they don't want to build on because of the sort of bugs that there are there. We do need bees. Yeah. Obviously, we need to try and save the bees. But when the bees go, then maybe part of the population of mankind will go as well. I just don't know. But I think it's something to think about. Let's have some music before I say something I really regret.
Okay, what we got?
I don't know. Who've we got? Eja?
Eja, yeah, we've had her on before. She's good.
Yeah. And her version of Walking on Sunshine.
I used to think maybe you loved me. Now, baby, I'm sure. And I just can't wait till the day when you knock on my door. Now every time I go for the mailbox, gotta hold myself down. Cause I just can't wait till you ride. You're coming around. I'm walking on sunshine. Oh, I'm walking on sunshine. Oh, I'm walking on sunshine. Oh, and don't it feel good? Don't it feel good? I used to think maybe you loved me. Now I know that it's true. And I don't want and sunshine. Oh, I'm walking on sunshine. Oh, and don't it feel good?
There we are, Ija, and her version of Walking on Sunshine. That's nearly it. Listen, tell your friends about the James Weir Radio Show and tell me your thoughts about conserving species on this planet and whether or not we should be spending quite so much time and effort. Maybe we should, I don't know. If we cut down all the rainforests, then it would affect us and is affecting us. So maybe we need to think about it that way. But does every species... Is it always? It can't, because, you know, species die out. New species come along, don't they?
That is very true. Yes, yeah.
Yes, they do. So anyway, let me know your thoughts on that. Tell your friends and check out, look, hey man, check out the website, okay? JamesWhaleRadio.co.uk. Go and have a look in our shop, see what you can buy, and help us to make a little bit of money to keep this program coming your way. Brought to you by Ford. And you can see the new EcoSport if you go on the website as well. Very nice car from Ford. I'm driving it at the moment. Next week, I'll give you my full-time appraisal of what the car has been like, what I think about it. And if you want to find out more about it, go to your local Ford dealer. So until next time, check out the other programs. Have a listen. And my thanks to Wayne Hussey. After 24 years, it was nice to eventually have a conversation with him, wasn't it?
What a great guy.
And with that, I bid you adieu.
A what?
Goodbye. Bog off.
TTFN.
If you want. I'll have mine with sugar in.
James Webb!
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.